lender partners be able to issue guarantees under the program up to 10 years. And to the extent that there is a request that an extension of that 10 years, that we're still able to do that provided we provide it to the board for their review and authorization.
Okay. Is there input from board members? Bill, do you have anything?
No, but we need to...
Mr. Chairman?
Anna?
So, we should should we consider different terms to match the federal government's Economic Stabilization Act and match those limits so that we could move into alignment with them in hopes that that would benefit small businesses?
I tend to agree with that, and I think it'd make it a lot simpler for the borrower to understand. I mean, there's a lot of numbers running around right now, and I think we keep it simple. To me, the speed deployment is the key here. And so I would tend to favor that approach.
Well,
Jared, can I get a point of clarification, though? For Anna Davis. So are we talking about just stating that it would match the federal level, not we wouldn't be actually tying it to anything specific, understanding over the next 10 days that those numbers might change?
I don't know if they will be changing.
This is Julie Anderson. I think the terms have already been defined and published for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. I sent all the board members the latest information I have on that program.
Thank you. That was very much appreciated.
The terms, as I recall, Commissioner Anderson, were up to a maximum of 30 years, but I think if you drill down deeper, that there might be some tolerance differences in the size of the loans or the loans that are authorized for guarantee. So should we consider, breaking it at a 5-year point or a 10-year point, and then or a 20-year maximum? I mean, what does the board think about that?
I have a proposal I'd like to board to consider. So bear with me a little bit. So if we could use the benchmark for the federal government's Economic Stabilization Act of 2020 limits, federal guarantees to a maximum of 5 years, and the SBA payback protection program is 10 years?
Yes, it is.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, then we can allow staff to authorize guarantee under the program of 10 years for Alaska businesses. In addition, the staff could authorize guarantees in excess of 10 years up to the statutory maximum that we have, 20 years, subject to our review and approval. How does that work? That way, it's a 10-year, but if it needed to be longer, it would come before us for approval.
That was the motion. I second.
You guys have to make the motion.
Mr. Chair, if I could make a recommendation, we do have two representatives with the lending community that we've worked with them.
Sorry, are you making a motion, Albert?
Yeah, I'll just echo your motion. So my motion would be, as a benchmark with the Corona Economic Stabilization Act of 2020, the federal limits guarantee a maximum of 5 years, and the Small Business Administration Protection Program is a maximum of 10 years. Therefore, allow ADA staff to authorize guarantees under the program up to 10 years. For Alaska businesses, and staff may authorize guarantees in excess of 10 years up to the statutory maximum of 20 years, but that would be subject to board approval.
Second.
All right, and so, Alan, I think you're looking for either Butch or Betsy's input on here.
I was just going to highlight that the program works in concert with them. It's to give some feedback, understanding of what is the normal tenor of these of the guarantees that we would be seeing or looking at under this program, in order to give them opportunity. They felt it was beneficial to give that insight.
Are there any comments from?
This is Betsy. I think that the most flexibility that you could provide in the program would be great. The entire banking community is juggling this program. First of all, I want to thank Alan and the ADA staff for being responsive and coming up with a creative program that will help Alaskans, and for the board here to be considering it. As always, the devil is in the details. I think that there has been a good collaborative effort in working this out to what could be done in an efficient manner to get money out to folks who certainly need it. But the devil is in the details. And simple things like, I certainly applaud that it ought to be equitable distribution across the state. Is equitable per capita for an area, or is equitable based on the square footage, the miles of the area? So there's little things like that need to be worked out, and I'm unsure how those details will be worked out for moving forward. My recommendation, again, we're all juggling multiple different programs, trying to get money out to Alaskans that need it. And, for instance, the new CARE Act is 859 pages, in case anybody is interested. This appears to be a simple program. The CARE program is, we refer to the Paycheck Protection Program. Thank you very much, SBA, and the government for doing that. This one would be available, my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, Alan, for working capital, which is different.
Yes.
And I think it's important that we take a look at all of the programs across the board so that there isn't necessarily a duplication, and the programs that we Alaskans can put together can fill the gap between SBA and other federal programs so we can leverage it as much as possible.
Thank you, Betsy. I think, at least from my perspective, the simpler or the easier we can make it for the banks to participate and to employ it, the better. As long as we stay within our regulation or statute, I trust our staff at being able to work with the Alaska financial institutions to deploy this in an appropriate, proper way.
Mr. Chairman, Bernie Carl.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Betsy, I understand as of this morning your bank is not approved to do the 7A SBA loans. Will you be working to get that certification?
We are approved.
You are approved?
Yep.
Oh, great. You weren't on the list this morning when we were told who was on the list. It was just...
We weren't on the list because we hadn't been making any. So since we hadn't made any, we weren't on the list.
But you are on the list.
We're not on the published list because that published is just, again, devil's in the details. The published list included the number of 7A loans that had been made. It was not a list of those financial institutions that were able to make 7A loans. We've been making loans to our customers that we feel are more beneficial to them than the 7A program before, so we had used that program, so therefore we weren't on the published list because we hadn't made any 7A loans, but we are able to make them, yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the clarification.
And Mr. Chair, Butch, do you have anything to add to this conversation?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and board members. I appreciate all of the effort that you're making to get through this and to get some money out into the communities here. This has all been essentially unprecedented in my 40-year career as a community banker in Southeast Alaska. I One of the things that we do need to realize as we set up the terms and conditions of this program is that we have economic situation here that is increasing in scale and graph as rapidly as the pandemic is increasing. Every effort that we're making and together in the state is an effort to flatten out the curve of that pandemic and the impact that it's going to have on the infrastructure of our state. And then at some point in time, the pandemic is going to disappear and everybody's going to be left whole of that, right? And we're going to have that economic problems associated with what has happened that are going to go on for years. And the ease that you make these funds available to your institutions to lend out to these businesses is going to make or break the program. It'll either put this on the shelf for all of you, or it'll bring it out and we'll have our businesses start taking advantage of it. They're already taking advantage of this, of the 7(a) programs. They're already out there taking advantage of the disaster programs. My expectation that, you know, across the nation, that New York City is going to chew up a big bunch of it. I'm not sure if by the time everything gets rolling and everybody stands in line, that there's going to be enough there. So anything that you've done on this end, on your side, our side, is going to make a big difference. We need to flatten out this curve on the economic side of things, too. And it's going to take a long, long time for our businesses and our communities to fix this. I mean, you just don't pull everybody's income away from them. You can't shut them down. You can't take away their revenues from export. You can't completely extinguish the tourism. In Southeast, as an example, we're going to have some serious problems. We need to be able to come to the table to get this taken care of. You have the help of your financial institutions and the state also. And of course, thanks to State Chartered Bank, we're an employer. I think we employ 190, 200 people in our organization. They all buy houses. They all buy groceries. They all buy fuel. And so it's really important to us that we're able to access these funds quickly and efficiently and without the burden of overkill. You know, your standard operational procedure for credit isn't necessarily what's called for here. It isn't necessarily appropriate to push a borrower into the corner asking for 3 years of tax returns. It's not necessarily appropriate that we're going through all of these. You know, as I look down all of the 1 through 8 requirements here for the lender. You know, you look at that and then you turn around and you look at the payroll 7A program that they're putting out where there's no requirement other than last year's payroll. And they can borrow up to 2.5 times that. And they can get portions of it forgiven. And so think about all of those things and think about where we'll be 5 years from now, 10 years from now. We'll either have, you know, gotten by this economic problem, or we'll be wishing we did something better and more right here at the front. So any questions for me, I'd be glad to answer them. So.
Thank you, Butch. Is there questions?
Chairman Cruz, this is Julie Sandy. And Butch, you said that First Bank is a 7A lender also?
That's correct. And we're probably the same boat as we are, the same boat as First National Bank or the other banks in the state. If you're not actively doing 7A loans, you sort of fall off the list, but you're still a 7A approved lender. And we'll be able to access any of the SBA programs that comes through.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to follow up on some of the momentum that Butch, Ms. Rome said, and Ms. Lauer have identified to bring to the table a few of the issues that we do need to discuss about the term sheet. And again, I would highlight that staff wrote the term sheet because of our existing statutes and regulations. We are looking for the modifications that was approved with Resolution 2008 as that ability to start changing some of these issues, and you're hearing directly from these two major partners of ADA in the local community about concerns that they have about the utilization of the program. So if I could jump specifically to a few points,
all right.
And I would ask Mr. Olmsted, because I know you have specifically made some comments on this point, if we could get your views on what we highlighted on the program fees so the board can hear some of your comments that I've heard from you.
With respect to the loan fees, is that what you said,
Alan? Yeah, the fees.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, when you charge, a loan fee, and you're looking at $1 million, and you're charging $35,000 for a guarantee fee, that's all well and good. But if you have, and I understand the reason behind it, it helps spread the risk around in the event of default. The problem with that is higher rates like that tend to push qualified borrowers a different direction. And so what you wind up with is those fringe borrowers that have no other choices and, in essence, are the highest risk borrowers. And so you expose yourself to more risk, more problem loans as a result. If you've got qualified borrowers a $35,000 loan fee is going to bother most of your more sophisticated borrowers. You're going to look at it. They're fee sensitive. We have, and for years, have been in the 1-2% range. Just from a competitive perspective, and so most of our borrowers, and I don't know whether First National Bank is this way or not, but they are fee sensitive, and they'll choose another path, and you'll be left with those fringe borrowers out there that are higher risk. On the other side of the coin, if you have more volume, and let's say you're down to 2% or 1%, and you have more volume, you're going to actually wind up with more fee income as a result. And so, you know, rather than keeping it at that 3.5% or whatever, it's a volume game then at that point. And that's my fee pitch there.
Mr. Olmsted, thank you very much. What I would ask to bring to the table for the board discussion is the program fees we have under the term sheet. What I would advise the board is that the statutes actually say that the authority may change reasonable fees or charge reasonable fees that the authority may establish by regulation for the service it provides. The underlying regulations are what was represented into the term sheet. And what I would identify the fact is that through the board's authorization of G2008, we're able to discuss directly a waiver or some other change in the regulation related to those fees, as highlighted by Mr. Olson. Mr. Chair, I think the first one that we could waive is the little $200 application fee. And then I think we definitely could look at the fees under the guarantee fee. He specifically mentioned the 3.5%. So maybe if we could go to just the flat dollar amount and tier those up depending on the amount of the loan. Maybe we could waive the service fee for a certain amount of time, say 36 months.
Is that a motion?
Well, not yet. So, Albert, what you're proposing is waive the standard $200 application fee.
Correct.
Waive the annual service fee of 0.5% for the first 36 months, which is 3 years.
Correct.
And then simplify the guarantee fee. So, do you have brackets or?
Yeah. Well. For say a $150,000 loan or less, that's $1,000. Would that make sense? And say between 150 to 500, we would do 2,000, just double that, and then say greater than 500,000, we'd do 5,000, just those flat fees. I guess that would be my amendment.
Second.
All right, for point of clarification, so if someone came in for $1 million loan, their fee would be $500,000, and the fee would be taken out of the proceeds of the loan?
Correct, Mr. Chair. Their fee would be $5,000.
Yeah. But it would come out of the proceeds of the loan?
They would receive $995,000.
All right, so that's an amendment to the term sheet for discussion. Fellow board members, Bernie, you always have something to say. Yes. You don't want to pay a lot for this muffler.
Yeah. I really wasn't going to say anything, but now you insulted me, so I'll say something. I really think that we're moving the right direction, and I like the I like what was just discussed with Albert. I think those are fair numbers. I think that this recovery is not going to be 6 months. It's not going to be a year. This is going to take several years for this recovery. It's not going to happen overnight. I mean, it happened overnight for us to lose our business and for the business all to go away, but it's not going to come back all in 1 year, I can tell you that. I believe I just read today that the cruise ships are not coming to Alaska at all this year, and I just read that somewhere this morning. So that means that that's an $8 billion effect to the state of Alaska, just that alone. So I say that we're moving the right direction. I'm in favor of redoing these fees, and I think it's going to help. It's going to help the state tremendously.
Further discussion? Is there any objection to Albert's friendly amendment?
This is Julianne.
Go ahead, Julie.
I would say I agree with Bernie's comments that we need to be able to help our businesses be there for the long term, and this will go a long way towards helping them do that. It's going to be a left right for a while. I support the amendment.
It sounds like the bankers are going to be happy us doing it also. It sounds like they honestly believe they'll get more business and make more money with lower fees. They're going to have better loans. More people will be borrowing from them. And they're in this for the long term, too. I mean, the bankers don't want a short-term deal either. So I believe, if I heard this right, they're supporting this themselves.
Yes, this is Butch. I agree. When I look at this, this is specifically what, back in the 1960s, that ADA was formed for. This, not necessarily to handle pandemics or emergency situations, but to provide that kind of capital for infrastructure in our state. And ADA in its beginnings, that's exactly what it was. You didn't have very many banks in the state with a lot of capital. And now at this particular point, we have a we have a lot of borrowers out there, and we don't have a lot of money out there to help them with, and this is an emergency, and I approve wholeheartedly in what you're proposing. So,
Mr. Cruz, could I make a comment?
Certainly.
So, Mr. Olmstead, I really appreciate you being willing to participate today, and best to you as well. I also appreciate you tying it back to the history and the mission of Ada, which is obviously why we're all here and why the staff has been working so hard. The question is both for you and for Alan. With the amendment before the board now, is everyone feeling like that still would provide us the flexibility we need?
I think that it would. This is Butch. It's a long ways from where it was. I think if in the program itself, it needs to remain light on its feet. You know, I think the governor is bent on providing everything that he possibly can. He's very cognizant of the fact that we've got a long pull to get out of this. All of our financial institutions are cognizant of the fact that we're going to have a lot of work ahead of us going forward. Our communities are depending on us. I'm behind this 100%. I need to leave it with the fact that the program needs to stay light on its feet. In other words, the governors probably will come in and make every effort to enhance this, to improve it, to add more money, whatever is necessary. I think is probably what you're going to see. So,
thank you, Butch. So, with no objection, that's added to the term sheet.
Alan, through the chair, the next issue relates to application, which also was a few of the items that Mr. Olmstead highlighted. And what I do want to present to the table for discussion is the fact that we were required to list the items that are under regulation in the term sheet draft as originally placed. With the board's execution of G2008, allowing for modifications and waivers of certain regulations, we are able to then address the amount of information that's required that directly addresses some of the issues that Mr. Olmstead was highlighting and gets to the point that the board has been sharing on several of these items that there needs to be a quick, simple access to the program. So what we request to put onto the table is the ability for ADA to modify what's required, and we simplify the requested information to something that may be as easily benchmarked as what has been referenced now several times, the Small Business Administration, what their current requirements are, provided if the bank already has the information that's required, we get copies from the lenders, but we don't require additional obligations of the borrower. That would be my suggestion to the table.
Well, I'm all for simplification, and I'm all for making it very streamlined so that our financial institutions in the state can deploy this with speed.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Anna?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Please finish.
Okay. Well, so, while on this board, you know, I don't think it's I don't think this is news that folks that I deal with on a regular basis, their perception of ADA is that we're bureaucratic, it takes a long time, lots of paperwork, tie everything up, and you spend a lot of money up front, and hope that there's a successful conclusion. And this does exactly the opposite of that. I'm not buying into that perception, but I hear it from time to time. So I really like this concept, Alan. Anna, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask the financial institutions whether they need a form or some kind of a information sheet or request that the borrower and the financial institution would be allowed to share that information? Is there any mother may I that has to happen between the borrower and the bank, or the bank and the borrower, or the bank and Ada, or the borrower and Ada, to get that information that the bank might already have?
Thank you for the question. No, there's we already have those tools in place because of our relationship with Ada as it exists now. So that's not problematic for us at all. The only thing that in that vein, we're going to leverage this guarantee money, but also keep in mind as a board that you're leveraging the institutions out in the state, also the lending institutions, and that we're perfectly capable of putting this stuff together. We're perfectly capable of underwriting the risk on these loans, and we're very responsible and forensically connected to our communities, and we're not going to lend irresponsibly to them. We're not going to do things to our borrower that's going to create more of a problem for them. So please understand that we're in the communities, we're out there, we have boots on the ground. Rely on us to do what we do. I've got 20 years as a chief credit officer for First Bank. We know how to lend money. First National Bank knows how to lend money. All of the institutions in the state know how to lend money, and leverage that part of it in this process, and we'll get this done and get money out to the communities quick.
Thank you for those comments.
Thank you. So, is there a
Mr. Chair,
suggestion to change the application?
I think that we need to do everything possible that we can to streamline these loans to get the money into the community. So I would make the suggested change that we would simplify the application process to ease the burden of information required from Alaska businesses, and mirror as much as possible the streamlined procedures as recently outlined by the Alaska's legislative delegation for the SBA loans and guarantees, and just request copies of information as requested by current regulation, if available, from the lender.
This is Betsy. Thank you very much, and I appreciate the First Bank comments. We are lenders to the community. We do have rubber meets the road and so forth. There is, in this program, a limited amount of money that is going to go around, depending on whether or not you're successful in increasing the cap. I really like this program because it's different from the paycheck protection program. It goes to working capital for folks. And I think it would be only responsible for Ada in a streamlined, simplified process. We are common sense lenders, and you don't need poundage of papers to prove that someone is creditworthy, to get some basic financial information so that you are sure that this customer is set up for success. And the last thing we want to do is cause more problems by not setting them up for success. And so, for instance, we've talked about 3 years of tax returns. You don't need the entire tax return. You can have just simply the first page. That will let you know if this is an operator who's going to be able to be successful, who has a proven track record of being successful, and so forth. So I agree entirely with simplicity, with common sense, and, again, the devil's in the details. And we as banks need instructions from Ada as to what you want for the program. We are operating this program at your direction.
Thank you.
Was that a friendly amendment to that?
That was an amendment, so it was a second.
Second.
All right. So the question for board members, Betsy, thank you for those comments. Question of board members, Albert has proposed changes to the application, and for simplicity and ease of burden. Is there any objection to Alan's Albert's proposal? I don't hear any, so we will add that to the application, Alan. What do you have next?
Mr. Chair, the next issue also relative to input that we've received directly from two representatives that are here that have been very helpful with us as we've been introducing the concept of the program in all of its stages. And one of the things that has consistently been raised is the limitation that we currently have through regulation on the maximum loan to value. The ADA regulation under 3AAC 9976E, term of the guarantee, says that if collateral is required, no loan to value may exceed 75%. It's been raised by the community partner lenders that there needs to be additional room for this to be an effective program. ADA staff sees this as an emergency procedure, emergency issues to be addressed for Alaska businesses and the economic consequences they're facing, and we are requesting to have some leeway above that amount.
Okay, so my first blush of this is that as previously discussed by our two guests on the line, that their business is lending and they would know what's appropriate and what isn't. And I think for staff to work with them and to determine the increased advance rates with lenders would be beneficial and give you that flexibility so the bank isn't handcuffed by bureaucracy or regulation. So what you can do, I'd look for a friendly amendment.
I think friendly and allow ADA staff to determine increased advance rates with lenders to maximize the use and benefits of the program for Alaska businesses.
And I'd second that.
That's pretty good writing, Bill. Pretty fast. Okay, so there's a change that Bill has suggested. I'll put second to the term sheet. Is there any further discussion? Questions on that? I don't hear you, so... Alan, go ahead and add that to the term sheet.
Then, Mr. Chair, what we will do as staff is revise the term sheet and provide the final copy of the term sheet for addition to the resolution. At this time, I raise the question, are there any other issues that we should address or if there's questions of the board about the proposed program?
Thank you, Alan. I do have one, but I'm going to wait for the rest of the comment. So, any the board members on the line, any questions or to the term sheet? Or
Mr. Chairman, Bernie Carl, I think that this is long overdue, and I'm sincerely proud to the fact that we're doing something today. The old Chinese proverb, the best time to plant a tree, 30 years ago. The second best time is today. And I think you've heard from the two bankers that are online how important it is that we lead a little bit here so that it can be easier for them to loan out money. And if there's ever a time that we need to take it easier, it's today. So I sincerely appreciate the direction we're going today.
Thank you, Bernie.
Chairman Bruce, this is Julie Sandy. Yeah, I echo Bernie's comments, and I fully support the program. I appreciate all the staff's work, and I thank both members of the banking industry for being present today to provide the feedback. And obviously, the goal is to create a program which is going to be used and to get the money out to the communities as soon as possible. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Albert or Bill?
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to know, is there anything else that the two bankers on the phone is there anything else that we can do to help us improve this program?
Well, I've got to ask for them, but we'll see what they want from us.
I'll echo what the other board member said. This is the time where we pull together and we do the work that we do, and we do it the very best way that we know how. We'll be glad on the front side of this that we charged into it the way we are, and the way this program gets set up. I think it's going to be beneficial. It'll be one more tool in our toolbox, and we'll come out of this on the other side better for it. So I'm very glad for it. So, thanks.
And I thank you, Ada, for and the Ada board and the staff for putting together this program. I think that now is the time for a common sense approach to come up with solutions. And I think that a common sense streamlined program that makes good credit decisions is certainly possible in this group. And I certainly appreciate the work with the ADA staff and the collaborative efforts that they've had with the Alaska Bankers Association.
Well, thank you both. My comment is that, you know, both of your banks, plus other Alaska financial institutions, are well thought out throughout the state, and they play a critical role in the well-being of the state, both from a business perspective and an individual family perspective. So if with your help, and I'm going to ask for your help, if you believe this program is viable, at some point in time, we're going to run up against our statutory limitation, and I would ask that to both of you, through your and your association and other financial partners that you have, and even your competitors, that you make a point for which this is not about party, it's not about politics, it's not about left versus right. Make a point to impress on our policymakers in Juneau and our administration leader, our governor, that a statutory change is warranted to help you with this program, I would ask that you do that.
That's an easy answer, yes.
And I think you can certainly leverage the Alaska Bankers Association as well.
Thank you both, and I would ask ADA staff to work with Betsy and Butch and the other associations for that message on this program.
Mr. Chair, if I may make one comment, I really want to express thanks to our two representatives that are on the line. They have been extremely helpful in organizing our thoughts and approach on the program. And consistently their view has been about what is the best function of this program to reach Alaska's businesses. It's been solely focused on that basis. And it's been a pleasure in the process seeing that at work, seeing that focus, and ultimately trying to put together a program that would deliver on our mission here, which is economic development, the continued economic development within the state of Alaska, reaching Alaska's businesses. So I would say from staff's viewpoint, we are very much looking forward to that opportunity to continue working with them on this particular issue as we go forward.
Thank you, Alan. So after the vote, which I assume will be positive, I do have something I would like to read on the record that Carson has helped me work with. So unless there's further discussion, I would like to call for the vote on resolution G20. I thought we put it on.
Yes.
Oh. Yes. So, Sherry, would you do a roll call vote, please?
Ms. McKinnon.
Yes.
Mr. Carl.
Yes.
Mr. Kendig.
Yes.
Ms. Anderson.
Yes.
Ms. Sandee.
Yes.
Mr. Fogle.
Yes.
Mr. Cruz?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. So for the record, bear with me, I've got a few bullet points to say. We recognize the tremendous urgency of the situation, and we believe that providing Alaska-based companies with access to additional capital will help keep Alaskans employed and will put those businesses in a position to recover. With this program, ADA and our lending partners will have the ability to directly and positively impact, at a minimum, thousands of Alaska businesses and their employees. In this unprecedented time for Alaska, ADA is stepping up to the plate, using its balance sheet to help Alaska businesses, small and large, throughout the state. By guaranteeing these loans, it is taking risk off the table for Alaska's financial institutions so that much-needed capital can be provided to help keep Alaskans employed. In this time of crisis, AIDAS has acted quickly, decisively, boldly. We are here for Alaskans. We are in this together. We are committed to our mission and to the work we do for all Alaskans. And I personally want to thank the staff for their hard work. This is a monumental thing for AIDAS. So thank you very much. I want to make that put on the record. That brings us up to Betsy and Butch. You don't have to hang out with us anymore. Thank you for your help. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you for all you do for Alaska.
Next up is Resolution G20-09, approving a Blue Crest Energy loan modification. So we'll discuss it first before we put this one on paper. Alan, are you in charge of this one with Mark, or just all of you?
Mr. Chair, AIDAS staff is recommending that the board review and discuss a resolution number G2009, resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority approving amendments to loan agreement with Blue Crest Alaska Operating LLC and co-borrowers.
So, we're going to talk about the issue with Blue Crest?
Blue Crest has approached AIDAS and requested what is being proposed in this case is a 12-month interest-only period. They have a currently existing amortizing loan. We would go into an interest-only period from April 1st through to March, their March 1st, 2021 payment, and then they would resume full amortization of the loan. We would extend the loan maturity for an additional year, in which case we would be fully paid by July 1st, 2022, as opposed to July 1st, 2021. It's July 1st, 2023 versus the current schedule of July 1st, 2022. Blue Crest is engaged in the oil and gas sector in Alaska, specifically in the Cook Inlet. They develop the Blue Crest field. They are in the process of developing and have five wells that are currently developing and producing oil, and they also sell gas within the Cook Inlet Basin. The price of oil in the last 3 months has fallen over 60% since the beginning of the year. Brent is currently priced at the start of our board meeting, was currently priced at $25.07. It had been at a level of $60 at the start of the year. There's been a dramatic effect to the oil and gas sector, which is somewhat unique than just the effects that are happening with the health crisis. There is a much broader effect to the oil and gas sector within the state of Alaska relative to the price of oil that is going to have a longer-term effect to it. Staff has reviewed the request by Blue Crest. We've reviewed it in the context of the existing relationship with the company, and we are recommending that in this case we accept their proposal of 12 months worth of interest-only payments during this period of time. What I would ask that the board also review in its discussion on this resolution is the fact that Blue Crest has been extremely diligent in its payments with AIDAS since the beginning of the loan relationship with them, which started in 2016. They had initial issues relative to the reduction tax credits that were affected at that point in time that significantly affected their financial position. They've been working with us since that point in time, and they have shown commitment to the state of Alaska with the development of the field. There is an economic development issue that I would also ask that you take into consideration, which is related to AIDAS mission. There are 10 currently operating staff with Blue Crest on the field. With a new development that has been approved under its plan of development, a new well development that would end up leading to hiring of over 150 people for further development on that field.
So a couple things, and I really like a lot of input or questions from the board. My first thoughts are, what is your contribution currently to the state treasury in both the taxes and royalties, and what is the contribution to the Kinepnitz borough for taxes from under the current economic conditions?
I do not have that information, Chair.
Is there a way we could find it real quick? I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, if they're contributing millions of dollars of the taxes and royalties to the state based on the wells, I mean, that's a positive thing. That helps me make the decision to support their request. Yet the other thing is, we just approved a 6-month suspension for the help of the lead bank. This would be a 12-month suspension of principal, but they would continue to pay interest. And so your thoughts on the differentiate, do you think that's appropriate? Should we do 6-month tranches on this? Does it set a precedent that the ADA may or not want to get into? I'm looking for your thoughts.
Mr. Chair, my thoughts on this is that the issues that have been expressed by the press are related directly to the tenor of their request, which is at 12 months for the interest only. It is an issue relative to the oil and gas sector as a whole. The price of oil is looking at the most reliable indicator we have of any future prediction of oil price, which is a forward price curve on Brent oil, is not a recovery above 30, 35 within the year. This puts a significant issue on the ability of the company's ability to continue to operate its existing fields and its existing wells. Based on their analysis they provided, they're telling us this is the time period that they need.
What's the principle of deferral over 12 months?
That would be effectively $4.8 million. But it's a deferral ultimately to the following year that we have added on. It is fully recovered under that basis. It's not the fact that we are going to be in the full sense for bearing on that principal payment. We will be recovering that in an additional year that's being added on to the facility. We have collateral with the company, which is directly the rig itself and the man camp and related pipeline infrastructure that they have.
Did they give you a price point for oil where they would free up enough cash flow to start making the principal payments?
What they have identified to us is that within the time period they believe that the oil price is going to recover enough to previous condition, which would be at $60.
In 12 months?
In their position, that's what they believe would be the case. That they would be able to satisfactorily meet their payment obligations at that point in time. They're asking for leeway, some flexibility, financial flexibility for themselves to address the current crisis that's happening in the oil and gas sector itself, with the price of oil is declining.
Mr. Chairman, Bernie Carl.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Alan, Bluecrest have been good borrowers, correct? I mean, they paid their loan on time. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Mr. Carl, they have consistently been on time with their payments since the start of the facility.
And isn't it true, or correct me if I'm right or wrong? Didn't they make a? They had a reserve account, and that was released, and they paid that right on the principal, and they didn't have to do that. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Mr. Carl, under the loan agreements, there was a reserve, a cash reserve that was in place that they elected to utilize to make a prepayment in July of 2019 to ADA, which significantly reduced our loan balance at that time. I'm appreciative of the fact you highlighted that because it reminds me of the fact that they, in that prepayment, have already put us in a position of a lower principal balance than we would otherwise have been at this point in time to include this period of forbearance on the principal payments that is being requested at 12 months.
Well, I'm going to tell you, being a borrower myself and knowing how tough times can be, I love the good faith that they've shown to this point. And obviously it's your belief that that goodwill is going to continue. They're asking for us to give them a little hand here, a little help. And I'm going to vote in favor of helping them as they've requested. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Further questions?
Mr. Chairman, Tom here. I apologize. We don't have the we had them last summer, and just hasn't occurred to us. I guess we've had a few things going on. That it was substantial, the amounts that were derived and paid to the borough and the state by Blue Crest, and we had those numbers last summer. We focused this time on the jobs, and. You know, and what I was going to point out there, that the $6.1 million did change our, increase our position very well. And this is a difficult situation. It made, brought to Alaska and the Blue Crest by exogenous factors. And this is a relatively easy answer, given the difficulty of this situation. And we'll be bringing other workouts to the board case by case, and the answers won't always be as easily reached as staff as we think this one is, and we strongly recommend that this particular workout be approved in the way we proposed it. Thanks.
I like the good faith that they have shown up to this point. It looks to me like they've truly shown good faith, both in dealing with taxes to the borough, royalty and taxes to the state, looking after their payments, paying them on time. Probably when there was times it was pretty tough, they made the payment on time. And that shows a lot of good faith to me.
Any further questions from the board? I would like to know.
This is Julie Anderson.
Go ahead, Julie.
I was just looking up the benefit of being able to do this. The royalties that they paid in January, and they're pretty substantial. So I think it's something that we want to ensure continued production and support this company that's been a good player. That's all I have to end.
So, couple comments. One is, this is going to hit the ADA staff pretty hard in the near term, and I would request that there is a program in place, a checklist that everybody follows to make sure you get as much information as you can get to the board to make the best decision is appropriate. I also We've made a decision on just today already on the blood bank. That's $22,000 a month. This is $4 million. At some point, I look at Brenda. If it's the case, the fact that we're not going to get cruise ships for 2020, and the floodgates are opening up, it's $2 million or $4 million doesn't sound like a lot today, but I'm here to tell you when there's 50 people standing at the door or 100, the next thing you know, we're not going to have the ability to do anything. So, I would ask Brenda, that from a cash flow analysis, there's a floor that maybe in the next middle of April's executive session that we keep really close tabs on that, and when we do get a request in for a loan modification, we immediately know what the effect is to the organization.
And if that helps, because we all know what's coming, I have done some cash flow analysis already, and looking at taking some discounts on our loan portfolio, looking at interest only, looking at the request that were before us today, in fact, we know that I do plan on writing this quite often as we make these decisions going forward, looking at the impact on the ability.
Yeah, $54 million went off the table today, so.
Mr. Chairman, was that Brenda Applegate speaking?
It was.
Thank you.
Anyway, back to my comment, $54 million just went up Ada's ability today. We have another meeting in 2 weeks. I just think it's really important that we have our ducks in a row, our T's crossed, our I's dotted. The easy decisions are easier decisions are made when you have the ability to do it. The tough ones are going to be coming when we don't have the ability to do it. And I want to avoid the tough ones as long as we can. So with that, is there any further questions on this resolution? My only issue I have is that we did blood banks for 6 months, and we're doing this for 12 months. I understand the rationale, the reasoning. It troubles me that our oil company, we can't give a 6 month and then review after 6 months and see where they're at. And it also troubles me personally that they haven't told the staff what number they have as price oil in order to have headway to start being able to pay back or their loan on the principal side of it. So I think I would ask the staff to figure out what that number is and give us an update, you know, in the future. But I think that's really important, because if they think $60 a barrel is going to be in 6 months or 12 months, I pray that they're right. I'm a little skeptical.
Mr. Chair, but I would identify with that is that the key issue with Blue Crest is that they've been diligent in making their payments irrespective of what the price of oil is. And part of the issues that they are facing is relative to the tax credits and not having access to those tax credits, which was an integral part of their initial financial plan in place.
I understand, Alan. I'm more concerned, not necessarily with Blue Crest, but the effect on Brenda's sheet, their financial sheet, and what we have, what tools we have for future good Alaska companies. And we just have to manage that. So I think, though, when they say 12 months, I'd like to have something tied into that, what that really means as far as an economic recovery plan. So that being said, I don't want to beat a dead horse. With that, I'll take a motion to put it on the floor.
I move resolution number G20-1.
Second.
Discussion on the resolution. That's the floor for a vote. All right, hearing no discussion. Sherry, would you call roll?
Ms. McKinnon.
Yes.
Mr. Carl.
Yes.
Mr. Kendick.
Yes.
Ms. Anderson.
Yes.
Ms. Sandy.
Yes.
Mr. Fogel.
Yes.
Mr. Cruz.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you. That brings us up to E, Resolution G20-1, approval of transfer funds to the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund. And Mark Davis, are you the one leading the charge on this one?
Yes.
I'll ask you to speak up so our board members online will be able to hear you.
So this resolution proposes moving $35 million from the revolving fund to the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund. That fund does not have any money in it. It was passed in 2012 by the legislature, and at the time they wanted to have a vehicle for infrastructure development in the Arctic, and it has a lot of good provisions that let us do planning, hire consultants, hire engineers. It's well set up for infrastructure. But they didn't put money in because we didn't really have a program to go for in 2012. So the fact that it was unfunded is because the legislature didn't support AMLR, because we didn't get AMLR until 2013. So now, today, I just was looking at my emails. We received a final notification from the Department of Interior that the final EIS has been published in the Federal Register. It is now a public document. That's the first greenfield EIS in the last 30 years in this state. And it took us from 2013 until today. So it's a process. So what we're asking for in the resolution is to transfer the money so the folks out there know the board has put money aside for this project but not to spend it. Monday morning, we have a phone conference with Amber Metals, which is a subsidiary of South 32, which has taken a position in both Bornite and the Arctic deposit. And the topic of discussion is the summer session. We have a proposed budget to them of approximately $15 million, and in discussions with the board members, Chair and Tom, you know, we're going to ask them to put up 7.5 of that. You know, so, and then we have to figure out a way to go forward where we do a procurement, and they're happy with the people we've hired, and then we keep them apprised, and we don't waste their money, and you know, we have to work out a lot of detail. We've run that by them. They haven't said yes or no. The topic of spectrum money is that very issue. The idea now is if the board agrees with this, I can tell them the board set aside some money. You know, we've got our money. I know they've got money. They're credit. And then we just have to come to terms. We have to come to terms that are acceptable to Ada and to the board. Also, after that, we need to start the procurement process. What we want to do is make sure we have the 2020 season. It's short in the Arctic. And what we need to do is use what's called LIDAR. To fly the route that is in the EIS. We finally have a route, and we'll fly that, and then we'll know exactly where the meets and bounds of the roads are on the map. We can finally do that. You can't fly LIDAR. You may have heard this with Alan's work on the West Pacific. You can't fly it when there's snow on the ground. So snow on the ground happens in August in our area, so we just got a short window. It's on the ground now. We only got a short window to fly that LIDAR. We can do that pretty reasonably by working with DOT and DNR. They both have lighter capabilities, and we probably do an RSA, you know, to keep the cost down.
Wait,
wait.
Do they have airplanes, helicopters,
and
LIDAR on them?
DNR owns the LIDAR machine, and you rent a plane.
So they charter somebody?
They do. Okay. They do. But it's the machines that are expensive. If we hire third-party contractors, much more.
Well, I'm familiar with that. I've hired helicopters with LIDAR.
Right.
And they're on LIDAR.
Right. And we used DNR on the West Pacific Access Road, and we got a pretty good price to do it. And it was a good price. So we're not guessing. It was a good product, good price. So that's what we want to do. So we need to, our first step, if the board will approve the resolution, is we call Amber Metals at 10 o'clock on Monday morning and say, okay, the board set aside money. It doesn't say it's going to spend it, but it's set aside money. Here's our proposed budget for 2020. Here's when we need to start, right? And can you come up with your 50%, right? And they know this on the agenda, and we'll report back to the board about what we get.
I assume that whoever they put money into, which I would vote against any spending any money without them at least being 50%. Just FYI, they would be at the table with you, obviously managing your costs and approving and making sure that every Alaskan business along the lane that you need to have work done has an opportunity to bid it.
Right, and that's the one thing we've been discussing with them. So, if you remember the jackup, right, the Endeavor, we did the procurement through a special purpose vehicle, which meant that the friendly company could procure, and we didn't use the state process. We'd prefer this time to use the state procurement process, you know, through ADA, because we want to have that 10% advantage for local businesses and Alaska-based businesses as part of the project.
All right.
So far, South 32 says they're fine with going through the state procurement, you know, open bid process, and we'd advise them about who we want to hire through that process. They'd have to approve it. But we, that way we can give a preference for Alaska businesses we want to do.
So the transfer of $35
million. Mr. Chairman, Bernie Carl.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Now, let me make sure I understand this right. We're going to put this $35 million in the account, in the Arctic account, and the mining companies are going to match the amount of money we spend for a project, or we're not going to do it. First of all, that's the first question. Is that correct? Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's the direction I have.
Yes.
All right. And then the second thing is that, and correct me if I'm right or wrong, I'm under the impression that the money that will be spent on this road will eventually all come back to the state, just like the Red Dog Mine, in fees that the mining companies will pay to the state of Alaska. They will eventually not only pay for that road, but it'll have a tremendously good rate of return to the state, as the same as Red Dog Mine. And eventually, the state has the opportunity of putting a couple billion dollars into the state coffers by fees, by people going to work, by taxes. So there's tremendous upside opportunity, because I want to make sure the public knows that this is for the state. This is for the public. This isn't Ada just going out and spending money. Ada's going to get every dime back plus, and it's all going to come back into the state's coffers. Correct me if those are true statements.
Well, they are, but let me break that down if I can for the rest of the board. So the two issues are how to pay for these upfront, what I call front engineering design or fee costs and extra permitting, and we're proposing to split that with South 32. However, we've already discussed with South 32 the concept that they would agree to pay fees, and they would put up letters of credit, as was done with the DMTS, or other guarantees that they would actually pay those fees even if they didn't use the road. And that's kind of how that goes. I received a call from the chairman of South 32 that their board had agreed to use what he called the Red Dog model. So that's a separate issue. So they have agreed to pay back fees. And if they were a part owner in the road, of course, they get some of the fees back. Our models show that this has the potential to produce over 30 years between $1 to $2 billion in return.
Thank you very much. That's a good explanation. I want to just make sure that's on the record so the public knows as you heard today, I respect the public, and I really respect what they had to say today. But they have to know that we have to look out after the future of the state also.
Well, one of the reasons the road was transferred from the Department of Transportation to ADA was precisely to be able to capture, you know, the fees we got at the DMTS. Was the state and DOT. DOT would build the road all with public funds, and then the history of public toll roads has been they never cover their costs. They're kind of like a ferry, and you never catch up. So one reason we shifted to ADA and why we're pursuing what we call the Red Dog model is precisely for those reasons, although I don't think that's always obvious to the public. We do have brochures on that, but we're going to have to keep talking to the public.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Mark, we've had extensive public testimony from yesterday and today, and just to talk, if you could explain to some of those folks that maybe are still on the line or that are going to listen to this later on, could you explain to some of their concerns regarding that $35 million is state dollars that we're putting into the state fund that somehow requires legislative approval? And can you just talk to that and talk about that ADA is really truly a separate organization from the state?
Right. So, if the board was all ahead, I want to make sure I get this correct because we're on the record. The proposal to transfer the funds is one that's under 48, 88, 810. And it states that this board can transfer money from any source the board has control over into the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund. So the board is authorized to make the transfer from the revolving fund by statute.
Which we don't need legal, or we don't need a legislative authority to
do. The legislature gave the authority to the statute.
Yeah.
So it's not that the legislature wasn't involved. The legislature was very involved. And they set this up with SETS and Arctic Infrastructure Fund, so you could take any fund. That's also investment funds, which is what we're talking about with South 32.
Yeah.
You know, to stretch dollars. That's what we're trying to do. But you've got that authority. Secondly, 4488050 says that the board may take action to this meeting pursuant to these statutes. So this is the proper form. It's not the legislature, it's the board. Under statute approved by the legislature. We're not trying to do an interim around the legislature. We're following what they gave us. So the other thing is that we know that under our statutes, ADA is not subject to the Executive Budget Act, which is Title 37, which has been cited in some of the comments, for its capital budget. ADA has an express statute, however, right, that says ADA's operating funds are subject to the Executive Budget Act. What that means is the $2 to $3 million of the year that we run ADA with goes to the Department of Commerce through our commissioner, and then goes to OMB, and then gets sent in the governor's budget over the legislature, and they can look at it, and they can pull it around, and they can do whatever they want. However, because the legislature statutes did not put our capital budget under the Executive Budget Act, right? They're not funds of the state. And they passed a statute, 4488-160, no, it's 190B, I'm sorry, that expressly states that the funds of the authority are not funds, it's a quote, not funds of the state. Now, we're the only public corporation that has that statute.
Description?
Yes. So, whereof, you know, is a little separate, but doesn't even have that distinction. ADA was set up to be very, very separate, to try to take on big projects, if it could, like the DMTS. That was one of the goals. So, if you go back, and again, I'm not criticizing the public. They're concerned about trying to lower funds. Where do these monies come from? These monies are coming from the money that ADA's made over the years through its investments, its projects. And then we're supposed to, by statute, and this is in 4488010 and 070, to use those monies for natural resource development and infrastructure. Now, in a downturn, you know, one of the classic ways of digging out from a problem is to put money into projects where you hire people, and the proposed summer program would hire between 100 and 200 people. And
if we this summer season, yeah. 20, sorry, through the chair, Mark, this is Albert, this would be this season, 2020, that they'd be hiring between 100 to 200 people.
Yes, and this would be the contractor selected through the procurement process, and then I've checked, you know, on the CDC regulations because of the virus. These would be outside jobs. They'd be up on the, you know, doing the LIDAR. There'd be two guys flying. You know, nobody's going to be prevented from working on these types of products. So we can do this. We can deploy the money. We can get people out working. It's interesting, then, to look at the DMTS. It was started in 1988. And you may recall, in the summer of 1987, oil hit $9. And that was the lowest it's ever gone to. And it stayed there. And so ADA responded with the DMTS. I mean, that was his response.
For those online, is the Long Mountain Transportation System.
Yes.
Red Dog.
So, yeah, the Red Dog, the road and the port that support the Red Dog mine. And again, when we look at the model, the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund is designed for financing, and that's what we're trying to set up with this pre-development seed issue, is to get to a point where we can finance this project, finance the road. And we will finance it, which is consistent with the statutory direction. And we will finance it probably like we did the Red Dog Port Road with bonds, because that's what ADA does well.
Are they?
Mr. Chairman, could I add a couple things?
Certainly, Tom.
Thanks. You know, it's important to point out, I think it is, that the previous governor put on hold several large projects, and Ambler was one of them. And you can look at this Ambler as a 50-foot, 200-mile right-of-way, and it was put on hold. A very pro-resource development governor got elected in 2018, and one of the first things that governor did after being sworn into office was restart some of these projects, and Ambler was right at the top of the list. It wouldn't have made sense during the period that this was on hold by the previous governor for anybody to ask and anybody to appropriate money for this project. It was on hold. And so the governor coming in and then the EIS getting cranked up again, and we've got the news that the EIS now is final today, and there might have been some help from the very highest level of this governor's administration in getting that darn thing moving, because it was delayed and delayed and delayed. So here it is, and here we are facing the 2020 field season, so it's entirely appropriate to be looking at funding. But also I want to say that anybody who's listened to this whole board meeting this afternoon can certainly conclude, which should conclude, that this board treats every single dollar that belongs to Alaskans as very, very precious. There's no profligate spending, and everybody is certainly motivated to spend money wisely. So there's no waste going on here, but there's also no emergency. We happen to need an emergency board meeting for some of the things that were approved this afternoon, but this is just timely to be doing in anticipation of the upcoming field season, and absent this emergency meeting, we would have nearly had it on the agenda for our regular April 15 board meeting. So I wanted to give that background that for anybody who might be listening or anybody who's interested, because I think it is important. This is just timely to be doing this now for the 2020 season, and before any money is spent, we'll certainly bring to you the plan, as Mark said, we're committed to do. But this history of Ambler and where we are now with Ambler, I think, is the context for this resolution that's being discussed by the board.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I would argue with you, Tom, that this was put on this agenda, this transfer of funds for the emergency meeting, specifically because of the COVID-19 response that the governor wants and that our board wants, is the economic development and to bring jobs into the state. And so by putting this money into this fund and leveraging the money, we're going to be able to create 100 to 200 jobs immediately that otherwise would have gone to waste and had to be postponed until 2021, because we have such a short period to do these types of field work. So I'm encouraged and glad that we put this on the agenda for this emergency meeting so that we can do what we can as a board to create jobs and do economic development in the state.
If I can make one more comment to us, I know the board's sensitive to the public, what they're saying, and I wanted to just give you a brief example of what we've been trying to do. So, one issue is fish. Remember, some people are concerned about fish. We're concerned about fish. And so the BLM and the Corps of Engineers came to us and said, you know, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service thinks the Department of Transportation, the last Department of Transportation Culver standards are too constrained for salmon. We did an examination of that, and we determined actually Washington State has a better culvert standard that doesn't cost much more, and they do fake streams to the culvert. It's been very successful. So we agreed to go over and above the federal standard.
I've done many of them. DOT actually does that. I actually did two last year in the valley.
No, we actually talked to DOT, and they actually supported what we were doing. And they're thinking about changing their standard. Actually, to be fair to DOT, they've actually built stuff in excess of our standard. But we agreed to it, and you'll see it in the EIS document this afternoon. It says that ADA has agreed to these things. So, you know, when the public has these concerns, so do we. You know, and we've taken steps to address them.
So my comments, I mirror what and agree with Albert said. as a being a construction business, and obviously I'm precluded from proposing on any of this stuff is for a conflict, which I don't mind because it's a greater good than just a small contractor like myself. You need time to be able to bring the mining group to the table and negotiate at least a 50-50 split on costs. Right? To me, that's super important that they have skin in the game. The build it and they will come issue is front and center. But prior to that, getting the 200 people, 100 to 200 people, that you have to do it today. You have to plant this burns. You've got to plant that seed in March, first of April to get people out in June. And so you actually, quite frankly, are under the gun to get something done. But before any of that happens, all this resolution does is transfer money to a fund. It still has to come back to the board for approval on how the money is going to be spent, and it has to meet, you know, it has to meet a process, and it has to meet scrutiny. I wish you luck with that. This is interesting times. I'd like to hear from other board members if they so wish to comment on this resolution.
Chairman Fruit, this is Julie Sandy. I just wanted to make a comment and thank Mr. Davis and the staff. The concerns that were raised, many of the concerns that were raised during public comment were addressed through the staff information today, and I appreciate that. And I also just wanted to, for the record, I do very much appreciate the public testimony yesterday and today.
I just got a text here from my daughter. Said the governor just shut down all non-essential businesses and interstate travel.
Oh wow!
Okay, so she just texted that to me.
It's a good thing you didn't come up here, Julie.
Yeah. Well, Julie Anderson, does that mean you're sequestered in Big Lake, Commissioner?
One of you guys would have had to give me a cot.
All right. So, is there someone willing to put this motion on the table?
I move resolution number G20-11.
Second.
Further discussion? Hearing none, Sherry, would you do a roll call, please?
Ms. McKay.
Yes.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Mr. Pandick?
Yes.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Prude?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. So, item number F, executive session, I have a request.